This is Kate Moorhead Carroll in the podcast Find It. Today I want to share with you an amazing conversation I had with an artist and deeply religious woman. Her name is Dima Chroma. Dima is from Syria, where she was raised Muslim but educated in Christian schools and lived a life bridging two religions. She has since moved to the United States and become an American citizen, and her art expresses her joy in participating in different cultures. Listen with me to this incredible artist and her expression of her faith and her art. Dima Chroma, welcome. Welcome to St. John's Cathedral.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Tell us about your life. Let us begin with where you were born and what your childhood was like.
I was born in Syria, Homs, and we lived in a community where Muslims are and Christians are neighbors, friends. My mother's best friend was Christian. I thought she was my aunt.
Oh, like, that's
because
beautiful.
Of how close we were. I used to spend days there at her home while my mother busy when my mom is busy. My father was an orthopedic surgeon, and he had his clinic. My mom used to help him. So her friend used to help my mom taking care of me. We were very close, and as I grew up in my elementary school was a Christian school.
What an interesting childhood. So you grew up really knowing two religions then.
Exactly.
So and you that's were Muslim, how we but you knew that there were Christians too, and that was just the way it was.
Exactly, and that's how we are in Syria. What you see in media is different from the reality. Huh. That's how we are in Syria. We live, there's this unity. We're one community, we live together. Even my mom, my grandmother, they grew up in that Christian school. So it's something like we're together, we're neighbors, we're friends.
That's wonderful. What a good vision of the world. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Yeah. And when did you turn to art? When did you start to love art?
So when I was 3 years old, I used to draw everywhere. And then my parents knew that I loved art. But when I was 15, I discovered my passion for painting when I got a gift from my aunt, oil paint. And I created an artwork, and everybody was surprised by this artwork, and I was surprised myself. And then I started to improve this. And that back then, when I got this gift, I wanted to try it, and I didn't have paint brushes with it. I only had the oil paint, so I painted with my fingers. I created an artwork with my fingers. That was my first painting ever.
Wow.
And that made me realize that painting was my passion, and still. And I kept painting, even though I studied something not related to art. I studied computer software engineering in Syria. But art was always something I wanted. I wanted to do art every time.
Did you feel that God, Allah, was there when you were doing your art? Were you aware of it being a spiritual exercise as well as just something you enjoyed?
Sure, because art, it builds bridges. It's like faith is. Like our faith, your faith, the correct way to do that is to build bridges with others, bridges of unity, bridges of connection, bridges of understanding. Art is similar. Art builds these bridges of understanding. It breaks the boundaries. It's not only the boundaries of the canvas. It's out there. It's among us. It builds these bridges, connects us together, take us to other places. You can travel through an artwork. You can travel somewhere else. Feel the smell the cardamom in Syria.
Yeah.
Feel this warmth, see the beautiful colors there, mm-hmm. hear the voices, the music. So art builds bridges. Mm-hmm. And also faces are similar, or how they should be are similar. So nowadays, unfortunately, we see different things. It's not always like that. Not everybody is like this beautiful cathedral. Not everyone is like that.
Yeah.
But I love that within these walls here, we are all gathered. There's something that binds us together.
No, it's really interesting, Dima. When we think about language, we're very comfortable that people speak different languages, and we know that they're communicating.
But we don't understand that people also are born into different religions, just like they're born with different languages. They're ways of trying to point to God, you know? But for some reason, religious difference frightens us. Whereas language difference, we may not understand each other, but we're not scared of language difference. Yeah. But you grew up not being afraid of Christians, and they weren't afraid of you. That's a great blessing.
Yeah,
that's
a great blessing. It is a blessing indeed. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So you studied, did you say computer engineering?
Computer software engineering, yeah.
Wow. Why did you choose that field? Was it because it was a good way to make a living, or what was interesting to you about that?
So I came from a very scientific family. My father was an orthopedic surgeon. My mom also was in that field, the medical field, and like being an artist or studying something not scientific was awkward back then.
It was looked down upon.
No, they never thought of me studying something else. And the Computer Software Engineering University was new. My father wanted me to study medicine. I said no, I didn't want it because I don't see myself, even though I love helping people, but a different way, mm-hmm. not with seeing blood and that. I love to help them a different way. So it was new, the computer software engineering. It was the first year of that university in my city. And I love adventures. I love trying new things. I have this courage to start and be the first one to try. So I decided to go there and study there, and I loved it. I was always the first in my cohort, and I was this artistic informatics engineer or software engineer. So always my programs and my stuff used to be more like they have this creativity in them.
Yeah.
And that's the art side. I believe the art side was this. Like even coding is math, but there's creative way to solve this problem, and that's the art part of it.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
And yet, as a woman, your father wanted you to have a career. He didn't just say, get married and have children. You could have a big career.
Sure. We're not also, this is something that the media promotes about Syria, that people there always, girls only go married and be wives. No. In Syria, people encourage their girls to go to schools, to universities. It's very, very important for us to study and learn and have a job.
Wonderful.
It's very important for girls there to study. And in university, the percentage of girls is more than the boys.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, because many boys go to work with their fathers sometimes. If the father has a certain business, the boy chooses to go to work with his father. The father needs helpers. The girl goes to universities to study and learn.
Wow. Now tell us about your headdress, because when we look at you, we see this first,
yeah.
And it means to me you're Muslim.
Yeah.
But tell us why. Why do you wear the white scarf?
So as Muslims, we are asked to show who we are. I am a Muslim. So please, when you see me, you feel comfortable, feel that you're in a safe place. You look at me as what I can do, how I look. This is how I ask you to look at me, and this is the symbol of that. And also, we are, as Muslim, asked to follow the righteous woman like Mary. Mary is a great example for us. She is the holiest woman in our religion. And we have a chapter named Mary in the Quran, in our holy book. There's no other woman in the book that has a name mentioned, but Mary.
And we love Mary too, don't we? That's something we have in common. Yeah.
So and Mary used to cover her hair also. So we follow these women. They are our role models. So that's why we wear this headscarf.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Thanks.
So you went to school in Syria, and then what happened? How did you end up coming? Did you come here first to the United States, or did you go, how did you leave and why?
Yeah, so my husband, who used to be my fiancé back then, he was studying in the United States, and I came here to be married to him. We were pursuing the best academic opportunities for him, and then we started to make a family. We wanted to live here, to have a family in this place. But after I moved here, 3 months after I moved here, the war broke out in Syria on the background of the Syrian revolution. The horizon was darkened with this brutal war.
What year was that, Dima?
So we came here 2010. It was November 20th, 2010 when I came here.
Yeah.
And the war broke out in Syria in February 2011. So it was only 3 months after I moved here.
Okay.
And I was visiting my parents back then, and the war broke out. I had to come here very quickly because before the airports closed in Syria. And I couldn't go back again to Syria since that time.
That's very sad and scary when war breaks out at home like that.
Yeah, it is.
So what was it like to come here? What has it been like for you to be here and look like you're... Well, we have a lot of Muslims now, but I bet still people stare at you as if you're different, right?
Yeah.
What is
that
like?
So it's good and hard at the same time. It's good that, that's me. This is who I am. When you look at me, you know that I am Muslim. You directly know my background, but when I look at people, sometimes I don't know where they are from or who they are.
That's true.
But I'm okay with that because I want people to know who I am, and my actions show them what is the real Muslim is.
Mm.
So we believe that. And I think all the religions like that, dealing with people, being good to people is the most important.
Mm.
It's even more important than the worship itself. The worship is great and it's very, very important. It's important to pray. It's important to connect with God. But God wants us to connect with these people in a good way, to build this earth. Mm. So when people look at me, they need to know that I'm one of these people who are here to connect, to do good things to others.
You try to see a person. We were just talking about trying to see people, right? And you try to see whoever you're talking to and be present with them, right?
Yeah, sure.
And you pray 5 times a day, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty admirable. Isn't that amazing? And do you have a mat? Do you get down on a prayer mat?
Sure,
5 times a day?
Sure.
Wow, what if we did that? That would be pretty cool, wouldn't it? Yeah. So tell us about these paintings, because they represent a woman who was raised in different cultures. Maybe we should begin with this. Is this you on the skateboard?
Yeah.
Okay, tell us about this painting of you on the skateboard.
Okay, so this painting called The Journey Between Two Worlds, and you see a girl in the mid-flight of her momentum on the skateboard flying, and you see the face is half a young girl, it's black and white, and then the other one is an adult face in colors. It represents me as a child, but in the body of the child, because children, they have this curiosity and courage to start the new journey. This half face, black and white, it's my memories, my younger self, because my memories shapes who I am. Our memories shape our identity. So that's why my identity as a Syrian girl, a Syrian woman, the body of a girl, as I mentioned, for curiosity, and these young kids, the courage. The other half, you see the woman that's now in the present time. It's colorful because it's in the present. It's now. You can feel it's the present. You notice the girl is wearing jeans and t-shirts. It's more a hint to the American culture that I live in every day. It's my everyday culture and trying to integrate in this community. So she's part of this community now, or she's at the beginning of her journey, and she's here. And if you look at her shirt, you will see some symbols from Florida, from the United States, that are part of her journey. And there's in the background, you see the Islamic geometric patterns, and these patterns are present in all my works. There's geometry or floral patterns. The floral patterns usually mean the growth in the new place, and the geometric patterns, they have different meanings. They have a lot of deep meaning. So first, these geometry, you see that they are repeated, like you can repeat them infinitely, because this represent the repetition of life and death, day and night. Things are repeated always. The seed becomes a tree, the tree becomes a seed. And so this repetition, the unity, the harmony, and they always start with one point. I start with a circle, and this point is the starting of everything, of all of us.
So are you talking about the geometric patterns?
The patterns,
right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so this is the Islamic art. Islamic art is not only about religion. It's called Islamic because it came from that land, the land that ruled by Muslim. But you can see it in churches there, in Jewish places, or in even places that are non-religious places. So it's called Islamic here, but there it's not called Islamic art. In Damascus, it's called Damascene art. In Morocco, it's called Moroccan art. So this background represents my background, my cultural background, and I make it loose. It's not as precise as it should be, because I got this sense of freedom here. I mean, not freedom from who I am. I am like holding tight onto who I am, but this freedom in constraints, in cultural constraints, those things there should be a certain way. Here, I can change that.
So you see there are the geometric patterns, but then there's a little bit of mess or splotch. I don't want it to be negative. It's beautiful, but you're right. It sort of it goes out of the lines.
Exactly. The freedom I gained here, I can change them here. I can these constraints change here. I can live the way I feel most works for me. But while keeping this heritage, I won't like give up. I keep that, but I make it work for me. So.
Tell us about her helmet. She's wearing a pink helmet, but it's got some design on it. What is the design?
Yeah, so this helmet, the helmet is for protection. It has Arabic letters on it. It means, like, the symbolism of this, that hold on to your roots. Her roots is, this Arabic language is her roots. So hold on to who you are. Hold on to your roots. Hold on to what you learned. It protects you. It keeps you in balance, because without roots, the tree will fall. So you need to keep these roots. And these roots, or these Arabic letter, become real. They break the confines of the canvas and come into our space, our real space, to show these are seen and felt. Your roots will be seen and felt. Mm. And they are going around the canvas, as you see, to touch her hand slightly, to keep her balance. They're not preventing her from going. They are just keeping her balance so she doesn't fall. Mm. And if you notice, I created these letters out of plaster. Why plaster? Plaster has a meaning to me. When I was a child, I spent time, a lot, like too much time, in my father's clinic. And he was an orthopedic surgeon. He used plaster to fix people's broken arms and legs. And plaster meant to me healing. Mm. It meant to me fixing, and it meant to me shaping also, because you can shape it. And the leftovers, every time he has somebody when I was there, and there are some leftovers, sometimes they don't need to use the whole pack. I took them and play with them, create something there at the clinic.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Beautiful. So I waited on someone, oh, yay, we have a broken arm. Yay, I'm happy. I will have some plaster. So that's why I used plaster here, because it's this memory.
For us Christians, it looks like the wings of the Holy Spirit are holding you up, that they're on either side, like, you know, like angels' wings, kind of keeping you keeping you straight.
Exactly, that is. And that's the roots, also the culture and your faith and your roots keep you in balance where you are, wherever
beautiful.
You are.
Beautiful, beautiful. Wow.
Thank you.
And the other one we wanted to talk about was this one where you're knitting. Tell us about the knitting, because the strands are coming out of the painting in a three-dimensional way. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So if you notice that lady, it looks like an older lady. The body looks an older woman. It's not that child. But she's wearing the same thing to show that this is the same person. This is the immigrant who started the journey. Now this young immigrant is now an older woman. She's knitting roots. If you notice, these are roots. And I did them crochet roots. And why I did crochet also, it has a meaning for me. I learned crochet at the knees of my beloved grandmother in Syria. She was so good at crochet, and I learned it at a young age. I wanted to bring this back, so I use crochet in my artwork. as I preserve, I'm preserving what I learned there in Syria, what my grandmother taught me. Mm-hmm. So she's crocheting her roots in this new place. She's making roots, and how is she doing that? Like, it's by integrating with people, it's by being here, being part of this community, having work, having family, engaging, not by isolating herself. Mm-hmm. It's the opposite, by working. And these roots are coming out of the canvas also, because they're felt, they're real. Mm-hmm. She's breaking this and coming out, so the roots are coming out of the canvas in 3D. And if you get closer, you will see the yarn or the thread that she's using. It has some knots on it. These knots make it difficult for her to create the root, a little difficult. So these are the challenging she's facing while making her roots here, because everyone faces challenges, especially if you're an immigrant, and I face a lot of challenges, and these are the challenges, but they won't stop her. She can still knit them. The challenges themselves, they will be part of her roots, and they will make the roots stronger. These like little pieces, like it will make them stronger, so it will not affect her. And these yarns are all the experiences she has. Every color is a different experience, and the roots are all colorful. You can still see patterns in the background, geometric pattern, because she's keeping this. She's not giving it away. And you still see some paper collages in Arabic letters and pieces of carpets. These are fragments of memories, her memories of home. And if you notice, she doesn't have a head.
Yeah, why? What happened to her head?
Where is her head? I wanted the viewer to think of, who is this person? Could this be the viewer themselves? Maybe someone else. You don't have to be an immigrant to be creating these roots. Maybe you came from another place, or you are in a new family. Maybe somebody came to the new family, becoming part of this family now, and they are building their roots among this family. So it doesn't have to be an immigrant. You put yourself there and think about her and what she's doing and what she faced.
You know, we're getting ready to remember the birth of Jesus, and we think about Jesus and Mary being born and then having to run to Egypt and being in a foreign land just like you. So,
yeah.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. So you're able to say so much through your art. When you're doing your art, are you feeling peaceful? What do you feel? How do you experience your state of mind when you're doing these? Do you think to yourself, I'm going to do this particular plan, or do you just sort of let it flow as you're doing it?
So I think about the concept I want. What do I want to create? What is the story I want to tell? Because usually I want my art to be a bridge, to tell stories, to connect people, to open conversation, start a conversation starter so people can talk and reflect also. So I start by thinking, what do I want to show? What do I want to tell? And then the ideas start coming. And okay, sometimes in the middle of the night, oh my God, I have this idea. I don't want to forget it till the morning.
It's a gift from God to have inspiration, inspiritus, right?
Exactly, this is the inspiration. So, and I sketch what I want to draw, because I want this idea to be all here in this place, and then I start creating the artwork.
Mm-hmm. Well, you are remarkable. And what is your hope and prayer for this country and for the world? What do you pray for?
I pray for peace. This is the most important. We need peace everywhere, peace in our hearts, peace in our relationships, peace in the world, peace in countries. And I pray for unity, like, and understanding. We need to understand each other. I want the world to be like this cathedral. Within these sacred walls, we are here to remember that we are united. We are closed, not we are not divided. As the world is highlighting division, we want to highlight connection. We want to highlight love and unity. Because if you think about it, we are all human. We have the same inside. We have the same, we want the same things. We all want peace. We all want love. We all want prosperity. We all want unity. We all want this. So why would we divide? We want to be closer. And I love what this cathedral is doing. This cathedral is building bridges. It's connecting us together and making this happen in this time. in this difficult time of the world, it's making, building these bridges, which is awesome. I'm very thankful. Thank you so much.
Well, we're thankful for you, and we admire your courage and your bright colors. Isn't she brilliant and bright? Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And so in the Muslim tradition, how would you say God bless you in your native language? How would you say God bless you to the people?
Barakakumullah, or barakallah.
Barakallah.
Yeah, barakakumullah, which means, baraka means bless. Allah means God. And by the way, people say, oh, Muslims worship Allah, it's their God. Allah is means God. So Christians in Syria say Allah.
It's for just God. A different language.
It's different. It's the translation. The same word. Allah means God.
Yes.
So God bless. It could be saying different ways. Barakakum Allah. It's barakakum. It's in the group. Or barakakallah for one person. Barakakum Allah for a big group of people.
Well, God bless you too, and thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.